Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Titzaveh. This week, Rabbi Meir Schweiger discusses Titzaveh. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha is Parshat Titzaveh. Today I would like to examine a topic which appears at the end of the parsha, the incense. But before I discuss the incense, I would like to note an anomaly which appears in this parsha, and that is the beginning of chapter 30, where it discusses the incense altar. The natural place for discussing the incense altar is last week's parsha, Parshat Truma, where we give very detailed descriptions of everything which is related to the tabernacle, to the construction of the tabernacle. So why was the incense altar placed in our parsha? In a previous podcast, I mentioned that the essence of our parsha is the institution of kuhuna, of the priesthood. The incense altar symbolizes the crown of the priesthood. I would even say is inextricably bound with the institution of the priesthood. From there, I would like to say that the reason for this is the incense. Perhaps the incense more than anything else reflects and identifies the priesthood. Let me begin with a story that is well known, which is from the book of Numbers, chapter 16. Korach, a Levite, launches a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, challenges them. It is a very, very pernicious story. The claim which is made is that the whole congregation is holy. So why do you lift yourself up above the congregation? Ostensibly, Korach, together with 250 men, challenged the whole institution of the priesthood. Why should Aaron and his sons be the priests? Why can't everybody be a priest and serve God? And Moshe's response to Korach is that let us do a test. Let us see, in fact, who has God chosen. And this is articulated in chapter 16, in verses 6 and 7. Moshe tells Korach and his congregation, take censers, place in them fire, place upon them the incense. And tomorrow, when you do that, God will indicate who he has chosen, who in fact is the one who is holy to serve God. And as we read later on in that section, when in fact they offer the incense, all of a sudden a fire comes down from heaven. This is the very last verse of chapter 16. A fire comes down in heaven and consumes the 250 men who offered the incense. Given the test which Moshe has set up, it seems to be that the incense, more than anything else, is identified with the role of the priest, with the institution of the priesthood. And the question is why? According to rabbinic tradition, the incense was a composite of 11 spices. Among those 11 spices, there is one, chelbena, which is associated with galbanum. Chelbena is a spice which does not give off a pleasant fragrance. In fact, if you look in Wikipedia, it says that it smells like turpentine, which begs the question, why was it among the spices of the incense? And the rabbis see the incense as being a metaphor, as a symbol for the Jewish people. The Jewish people who by and large are righteous. The Jewish people who by and large give off a pleasant fragrance. The joining of the chelbena to the other spices is a way of saying even the wicked people, even those who do not give off a pleasant smell, they are part of the Jewish people. And not only that, but when they are integrated together with the rest of the people, altogether give off a pleasant smell. In Masechet Kritut, the Talmud says, any fast in which the criminals of the Jewish people do not participate, that is a fast which is not acceptable to God. Hence, the Ktoret is a symbol for the unity of the Jewish people. The Kohanim have the role to do everything to achieve that goal, to embody that goal, to embrace that goal. That is why Korach and his followers could not be Kohanim, could not be priests. Their behavior was a very, very divisive move. And as such, it could not bring about their representing the Jewish people before God as Kohanim. Let us look at two other places where the incense comes up to develop this theme. On the day that the tabernacle was constructed, on the day that it was installed, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we are told of how Aaron, this is Parshat Shmini in Leviticus chapter 9, we are told of how Aaron brings special sacrifices, has a whole service which he does. In the aftermath of Aaron's service, after he and Moses bless the people, this is chapter 9, verse 23, the glory of God appears to the people. Fire comes out before God, consumes on the altar the burnt offering, the fats. And the people see and they sing and they fall on their faces. On that day, the Jewish people experience a profound I-thou encounter with God. They bring offerings to God and then they see how God has accepted their offerings. A fire comes down, consumes the offerings. And the response of the people is ecstatic. They bow down, they sing. This is the consummate moment where the Jewish people and God are united. And then in the very next section, in chapter 10, we are told how Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, take their censers. They put fire, they put incense, and it says they offer before God a strange fire, which God did not command them to do. And then fire comes out before God and consumes them, and they die before God. What was their sin? If one looks in the Midrash, in the homiletic sections of rabbinic literature, there are at least 14 explanations given for what they did wrong. I would like to offer my explanation, which is that they separated themselves from the community. At that moment, when the community came together, when as a community, they had this profound I-thou relationship, encounter, how could Nadav and Avihu attempt to have their own experience? How could they use the incense, whose essence is Jewish unity, to separate themselves from the Jewish people? That is why it is called a strange fire. And the result is they died. I would like to now look at what appears later on in the book of Leviticus. In chapter 16, which outlines the temple service on Yom Kippur. And the section begins, and God said to Moshe, after the death of Aaron's two sons, when they came near to God, and they died. And God said to Moshe, speak to Aaron your brother, that he should not come at any time into the holy, and in this case it means the holy of holies, beyond the curtain, towards the kaporet, the cover of the ark, that he should not die. And it says, ki be'anan, for with a cloud, eira'eh ala kaporet, I will be visible on the kaporet. Before God gives the Jewish people all the laws of how the temple service should be done on Yom Kippur, he warns Aaron, don't forget what happened to your two sons. Don't repeat their mistake. Why is that so important? Well, it seems to be because of what could be seen as the central service, centerpiece of Yom Kippur. And what is that? Yom Kippur is the only day of the year where the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. And given what we just read a moment ago, his entry card That which gives him access to the Holy of Holies is the offering of the incense. And the way that the incense is offered on Yom Kippur is very, very intricate, complicated, to the extent that if the high priest does not perform the service exactly the way it needs to be performed, he will die. And ostensibly he will die for having entered the Holy of Holies, violated the sanctuary of God, without that which is his license to do so. A very, very sticky point, which became the basis of a major dispute between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, revolved around the offering of the incense. The Sadducees claimed that the incense needed to be put on the fire before the priest, the high priest, entered the Holy of Holies. The Pharisees claimed that no, the priest needs to take the fire in one censer, the spices in another, walk into the Holy of Holies, combine them in the Holy of Holies. This was such a divisive argument that the rabbis, the Pharisees, at the end of the Second Temple, would make the high priest take an oath that he would do the temple service the Pharisee way. I mentioned earlier that the essence of the incense is to somehow embody Jewish unity. And with it, to say to the priest who brings the incense, your role is to bring the Jewish people together, to become a model for that unity. If we look at the Yom Kippur service, when the Kohen offers the incense, he takes fire, spices, and by putting the spices the right way, the fire becomes a cloud, which may also be related to the word ketoret, ketor, vapor, or smoke. And somehow the role of the Kohen on Yom Kippur is to take fire and to make it into a cloud. In another podcast, I have mentioned the fire and the cloud are two symbols of God's presence throughout the journeys of the Jewish people in the desert. Two symbols which appear in the tabernacle and later on in the temple. As we saw in the story of Nadav and Abihu, the fire is a means of God's punishment. The fire is associated with God's attribute of divine justice. At Mount Sinai, there is a fire which is burning. It is the fire of the Torah, the fire of the responsibilities which the Jewish people are expected to take upon themselves. The cloud is the symbol of God's compassion. The cloud is associated with God's protection of the Jewish people, the clouds of glory that sheltered the Jewish people, that removed all obstacles in their path. Justice and compassion demands accountability and understanding. On Yom Kippur, Aaron's role is to bring about atonement, to bring about forgiveness, to invoke God, to not sit on the throne of justice, but to move to the throne of compassion, of mercy. Aaron's role is atonement, or in a different way, at one mint, to bring about a reconciliation between God and the Jewish people. And perhaps the most significant way to invoke that reconciliation is to somehow show God, we are a united people. One day during the year, somehow we overcome all of our differences and are able to come together in the temple, in the Beit Knesset, and as one people to serve God. The Kohen who brings together the Jewish people can also bring the Jewish people together with God. In the story of Korach, the Ketoret becomes a very destructive element. So too in the story of Nadav and Abihu. That is when the Ketoret is used in a very divisive manner. But when the Ketoret is used not in a strange, foreign way, but in the way it's meant to be used, it can ultimately bring about a redeemed world. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.